The 100 Years' War to the Giscolin period, the reversal of the good Parliament. John of Gaunt launched his counter-revolution as soon as the obsequies were over. Members of the Permanent Council were curtly notified that the king had no further need of their advice, and steps were taken to refuse them access to him at Havering. Gaunt himself came to Havering on about October the 7th and appeared before the king, accompanied by the chancellor and the principal officers of the royal household, proffering a petition that Latimer should be pardoned for all the offenses and that the good Parliament had found and proved against him. The king gave a sign that he granted it. Latimer formally submitted to a fine of 20,000 marks, which Edward at once graciously remitted. The royal council was then reconstituted and the disgraced minister restored to his old place on it. A few days later, Alice Paris was restored to favor. She received a pardon for all the money, gold, silver, cloth, and jewelry she had taken over the years from the Chamber of the Exchequer, and an ample grant towards a new wardrobe. Shortly, John of Gaunt returned his attention to the men who had regarded as chief authors of the parliamentary revolution. His first target, William of Wickham, Bishop of Winchester. Wickham had been the most overtly hostile of Latimer's opponents in the Lords, and had emerged as a senior member of the Permanent Council, which the Commons had foisted on the king. There's some evidence that he had been spreading gossip, casting doubt on the legitimacy of John of Gaunt's birth, a perennial rumor which regularly reappeared among the Duke's enemies and always provoked him to anger. On October the 13th, 1376, a great council met in Whitehall at Westminster. It had been summoned in order to take stock of the peace negotiations with France and make plans for the resumption of the war if it should come to that. In fact, its first business was to be Wickham's impeachment. The charges, which were promoted by John of Gaunt and Latimer, all related to Wickham's misconduct of the king's business during the period he had been minister between 1361 and 1371. The staleness of these charges and the fact that they were minor image of those advanced against Latimer and the good Parliament made it perfectly clear that revenge was the main motive of the prosecutors. When Wickham asked for time to prepare his defense, William Skipworth, a compliant lawyer, was apparently appointed to the bench, who was present to advise the magnates on the law, reminded him that he had spoken against a similar application by Latimer in May, and declared that the bishop was no more entitled to the indulgence than Latimer had. In fact, Wickham got a brief adjournment at the assistance of John of Gaunt, and was defended by 6 sergeant at law when the council resumed. It did him no good. On October the 23rd, he was sentenced to be deprived of temporal possessions of his see. Wickham was obliged to dismiss his personal household, to disperse the scholars of New College, his foundation at Oxford, and to wander for several months from house to house in search of a roof over his head. Peter de la Mare, whose forthrightness had so outraged Gaunt, did not even receive the favor of a trial. He was arrested by royal warrant at the end of November 1376 and sent to the grim castle of Nottingham. His patron, the Earl of March, was deprived of the office of Marshal of England. William Wickham had never been a popular figure, and his own reputation for honest administration was actually no better than Latimer's. But it is clear that the main reason for his fall was change of political sentiment in a short period since the dissolution of the good Parliament. The only contemporary chronicler who ventured to comment suggested that opinion had been turned by an outbreak of violent disorder in the West Country, instigated by the tenants of the Earl of Warwick, one of the permanent councillors appointed in the Parliament. This incident may well have seemed symptomatic of a wider breakdown on law and order in the provinces, of which there is actually some evidence. But a more significant factor in the change of mood was the deterioration of the international situation. The truce was breaking down across the southwestern part of France, and hopes of a compromise on sovereignty at Bruges were receding. The grievances of those who had objected to the mishandling of the war and the terms of the truce faded away with the prospect of renewed fighting. The reversal of the good Parliament's work was not accepted by everyone. The resentment of John of Gaunt's ruthless exercise of power earned him a lifelong distrust of many of his contemporaries. Among Gaunt's increasingly vocal enemies, it was widely believed that he was making a bid to succeed his father as king. The St. Albans chronicler, Thomas Walsingham, believed that John of Gaunt planned to elbow his young nephew Richard of Bordeaux aside and perhaps even poison him. Commons, concerned about this, was probably what lay behind his request which was duly granted, that Richard should be brought before them in the last days of the good Parliament, to be honored as the king's heir. The Duke of Lancaster understood the point they were making and deeply resented it. As he would later say in Parliament after Edward's death, he was the son of a king and one of the greatest men of the realm after the king. He had more to lose by an act of treason than any living man. Yet the gossip of Westminster and the London streets quickly became the orthodoxy of European courts. So, we've finally dealt with the good Parliament. We've, unfortunately, the Black Prince is gone. The king is going to be gone pretty soon. And so we will have a little problem with the succession coming up. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.